Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100 to get a $100 free bet at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions do apply. We're also brought to you by our Mini Helmet Contest. The SGPN mini helmets are now in the store, and we're giving away one for free. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet.
Hi-yo, DeGenerinos, and welcome back, or welcome for the first time, to an exciting episode of the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. We're still in the middle of our no UFC events going on. What I'm trying to say is it's the UFC off season, so to speak. We got about 4 weeks off of that, but that has not stopped the true MMA degens of us from betting on fights. So we got another fight card we're going to break down for you on this here episode. And I'm one half of the people that are going to help you break it down. The one with the easy job, who's not actually going to put his neck on the line and make picks, I would be Jeff Chalks Fox. No, because I have a man who watches every MMA promotion in the world and knows about all these people, even if they're 25-year-old sumo wrestlers or if they're super atom weight female fighters. He knows about all those fighters. So that was last episode. Hopefully he knows about people on this our episode as well. Last episode, we were in Japan. This episode, we are going to London, England, to the O2 Arena for Cage Warriors event, which is also happening on New Year's Eve. So let's bring in the man of the hour, Mr. Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I don't think I had to do very much research for either of these past two fight cards because I know just about everybody on them. There was one guy on this one I had to look up and remind myself about just to remember. But like, I think I talked about it last time. There were three former UFC fighters on that Ryzen 4D card. And there are four on this one. There are four that we're going to break down out of the five fights here.
Crazy. You know what I forgot to do? I forgot to dedicate episode 268 to someone. It's important dedication. It's going out to Jared Vandera, who very wrongly, miscarriage of justice, has been cut from the UFC.
So when did that happen?
It's up to him. I just came through today. He announced his departure from the UFC. Following a five fight skid, so I'm sure it was his decision to leave, right?
Yeah, that took a long time.
Sad. So hopefully maybe he'll be on one of these cards that we're breaking down. One of these regional cards we're breaking down soon enough, but not in this one. But this Cage Warriors event does have quite a few, as Dan said, quite a few names you may know, especially if you're a hardcore and you know your UFC. It would be Cage Warriors 148 that we're speaking of. Another New Year's Eve event, but since it's over in England, if you're listening to this in the East Coast, North America, or Eastern time zone, 2 p.m. Eastern is the start time, much more palatable than the 4 a.m. Ryzen one we just broke down yesterday's episode. This one also will be on UFC Fight Pass, so it will be easier for you to find as well. The Indigo at the O2 Arena in London, England, is where it's taking place. In a cage, 12 fights. We're breaking down, five of them. You had a bonus pick you want to talk about as well, the opener.
Yeah, I'll throw that in at the end. Right. If you guys want a fun dog that I think you guys can cash in on, I will throw that to you at the end of the episode. So stay tuned.
Okay, we'll start off. The Flyweight Championship is listed. Tapology has it listed like way down the fight card, but I'll go with what they say. You would think it would be near the top, would it not? Or
I think they do. So sometimes Cage Warriors, and I'm not sure if they're doing this again. Sometimes they do a split card.
Okay. Yeah.
Where they have like basically a fight card, a little intermission, and then another fight card.
Okay, that would make sense.
And not only would that make sense, if you also look after that, it does seem to be like a country versus country theme above that.
Right. Yeah, that's what they were playing. I thought they were going to do a U.S. versus or Europe versus the world type of thing. So
that's
kind of what they're doing. So
it does look like it kind of held through. And I think it originally was supposed to be split right on that line. And now, that flyweight fight, I think, is the right before the intermission.
All right. Regardless when it happens, it will happen. And here is all the info you need to know on it. So it's 5 5-minute rounds for the Cage Warriors Flyweight Championship. The champion, Sam Creasy, versus the challenger, Sajidul Haque. Or is it Hack? Haku is Haque.
I think you had Haque. Right. Haque? Yeah, Haque. Right. Yeah.
Haque, I will tell you about first, since he is the challenger. Superman. He's another Superman. We're running into lots and lots of Supermans. But here's another one claiming to be Superman. He's 14-5 with 4 knockouts. He's been knocked out one time. 6-2 in Cage Warriors. He's won 4 straight fights. He has beaten Creasy before, back in 2016, via decision. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. 2012 pro MMA debut, 2 years younger than Creasy, -115. So he's a very slight favorite going into this fight. The champion, Creasy, nicknamed Urai.
Sure.
You're not helping with that at all, are you? Yeah, nope. I think we've talked about him and talked about the nickname before, have we not?
I'm pretty sure we talked about him before his last fight. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anyhow, that's his nickname. So take it as it is. He's 16-4, Creasy. He's got 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 11-4 in Cage Warriors, and he is their current champion. He's won 5 of his last 6, including his last fight, which was a successful defense of his title. He's an inch taller than Haque, -105. Go ahead.
So I'm going to go with the ever so slight dog here in Creasy, and mostly just because so they fought before and Haque won. And if you go back to that fight and watch it, Haque looks like he's sharper on the feet and he can mix in takedowns and stuff like that. I think Creasy has gotten exceptionally better over that period of time, whereas Haque may be a little bit better of a version of himself, but not substantially better than he used to be. And then the other thing I'll say about Haque, too, is like I think Haque would do fine if he leaned heavily on his wrestling in this fight. Like he loves to shoot a takedown, but like not until like 2/3 of the way through the fight. Like he'll shoot a takedown like at the end of the second round and he'll be successful with it. And I don't know if it's that he lulled his opponent to sleep or whatever, but like if you go back earlier in his career, he used to lean on it way more. And I think like that would be a great route to trying to beat Creasy here, although Creasy does jump on submissions really well. And I just don't think he's going to do it enough. And now I think he's slower than Creasy on the feet. I think Creasy's got a little bit more power on the feet. He's a little bit better of a finisher. So this is a tough one because they have fought before. They're familiar with one another. But I am going to go with Creasy here. I think he just avoids enough of the wrestling. I think Haque doesn't go in with the right game plan and it winds up getting him beat.
A big, big dog to start things off. Exciting. Yeah. Man. -105. Get in there. Well, hey, it's fine. If you think he's going to win, that's a good number.
Yeah.
All right. You can get lots of good numbers over at our friends at WynnBET's establishment. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, plus reduced juice on sides and totals for all bowl games the day of. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive your special offer. Bet $100, win $100, limited to state availability. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where play through WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And don't forget to enter the SGP mini helmet contest from now until the end of the year. Just go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet. to enter. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/helmet. All right. So we're thinking that's the last fight before a bit of a intermission, and then we'll break down the main card now, starting with Darren Stewart versus Guillermo Cadena, and this is at 185, so a middleweight fight. Cadena, is it Cadena or Sadina?
It's Cadena. Cadena.
Yes, Cadena. Warrior, 30-19. 4 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out 10 times, submitted twice. He's won 4 straight fights, all via finish. He's not lost a fight since May of 2019. This will be his Cage Warriors debut. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Used to fight at lightweight and welterweight. 2012 promo debut. He's also 1-0 in bare knuckle boxing. 2 years younger than Stewart. 3 inches of reach advantage on him, plus 250. The dentist, Stewart. 12-9 with 2 no contests. 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out 1 time, submitted twice. 4-2 in Cage Warriors. He's gone 0-4 with 1 no contest over his last 5 fights. He's not won since August of 2020. He used to fight at light heavyweight. It was a regional champ. He is an inch taller than Cadena, minus 325. This is one of the numbers that has really blown up since they first hit the board.
Yeah, it hasn't blown up that much since this morning. Cadena was already 235 as of this morning. So 250 is a slight bump. I will say this, in watching Guillermo Cadena, because I mentioned at the top of the show, there was one guy who I was like, I do need to do a little bit of research because I don't know if I remember this guy well enough. First of all, I'm going to tell you that I'm absolutely perplexed that he's 1-0 in bare knuckle boxing, because this dude's awful on the feet. Like, he's like truly, truly, truly bad on the feet. Like, doesn't know what he's doing. Looks like he would get knocked out by any middleweight in the UFC. And at the same exact time, I think I'm going to take him on the dog price here, because he's really, really sharp on the ground. So literally all he needs to do is get this fight to the ground for like a minute. And I think he can sub Darren Stewart. And the other thing about Darren Stewart too, is while Darren Stewart does really like to box towards the end of his UFC career there, he kind of fell in love with shooting takedowns, like really weirdly. I'm trying to remember exactly the fight I remember seeing him in, but he like out wrestled somebody and I was like, what the hell am I even watching? So like, will Stewart take him down? I'm not entirely sure he will. Will he take Stewart down? Also not sure he will. I think it was the Maki Pitolo fight. Darren Stewart, I think, will wind up on the ground with Cadena at some point in time. And if he does, I like Cadena. He's got tons of experience. He's a good grappler. He's really tricky. He goes for submissions all the time. I'm going to say I think he catches Darren Stewart. Now, with that being said, just a fair warning to anybody who's watching this and are like, what the hell was Gumby thinking? If it doesn't ever hit the ground, this pick will look extremely bad. Like, this pick will look like I had no idea what I was talking about. I understand that. I recognize that. But at the same time, I think it will.
All right, there you go. He put some qualifiers on there to make himself look look better if he swings and misses on.
He's really bad at. He's speaking of swinging and missing. He is really bad on the feet.
All right, there you go. There are your qualifiers. All right, we'll jump up a couple of fights. We'll go to some weight classes to bantamweight. Tomas Granvall versus Wilson Reyes. Hey.
Wilson, you messed it up on the first.
It's been a
try.
While, man. I haven't talked about him for a while. Hayes, you may know from his UFC career as well. All right, tell you about Granvall versus The Train. 10-4-1, 1 knockout, 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. This is his Cage Warriors debut. 2012 was his MMA debut. He's 9 years younger than Hayes, 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach over him, minus 110. Hayes, 25-12 with 11 submissions. He's been knocked out 5 times, submitted once, 2-0 in Cage Warriors. He did win his last fight. That was his only win over his last 3. He's gone 2-3 over his last 5. He used to fight at flyweight, used to fight at featherweight. Now he's right in the middle. He went 7-6 in the UFC and 5-4 in Bellator. He was the Elite XC champion, if anyone remembers that. The old school heads will remember that. He was the inaugural bantamweight champion there. Also was a regional champion. 2007 was his pro MMA debut. He also was a BJJ champ multiple times over. And you can get him for minus 115 in this fight.
So I'm going to go with Hayes here. Over Grovall. In what I've seen of Grovall, he kind of is, he's like a poor man's Makwan Amerikani, is a good way to think of him. It's not that he can't strike, but it's that it's so obvious he would rather be grappling that sometimes his striking suffers from the fact that he wants to grapple so bad. Additionally, too, like, he's one of those guys who is so desperate to grapple from time to time that he shoots from like 7 miles away, and like really needs to chain things together and like work hard for those submissions. And for those who don't remember watching Wilson Hayes fight in the UFC, he is a really talented grappler and he's very physically strong. Like, I can't stress that enough. He's built like, you know, like a soda can, right? Like, he's a refrigerator of maybe a mini fridge, because he's 125 or 135 pounds most of the time. But like, he's way too strong for Grovall to just be like chaining a 3-part or 4-part takedown together to get him. So like, without it being somebody who can like knock him out, I don't think Grovall has a lot of choices of what he can do in this fight. I mean, I guess he could try to like pick him apart from the outside, but as we've kind of seen with Wilson Hayes over the years, like, he is not a bad boxer and he gets in your face and he kind of bullies you. He's got his good ground game in his own right. I just don't see a path for Grovall to beat him in the striking. And I don't think he's going to get enough grappling going. So I'm going to go with Wilson Hayes here.
All right. Hayes is the pick. We also, another place that you can make picks at. Sure. We'll say that. Bad transition, but we're going to talk about Underdog Fantasy, because we are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog, the season never ends. Right now, you can play their weekly Battle Royale games or even draft your playoff best ball team. They also have a ton of daily games for NBA and NHL. Plus, when you use promo code SGPN at UnderdogFantasy.com, you get 100% deposit match up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code SGPN. All right. What are we going to move on to now? Let's move on to nothing but championship fights going forward. Co-main event for the Cage Warriors Light Heavyweight Championship. It is vacant still, right? One of the men fighting for it vacated originally, I believe, right?
Yes. This was Modestus Pukauskas' title. He vacated to go to the UFC. They have not given away it again, and now he fights for it.
He's back. Yep. So Modestus Pukauskas, who is on Dan's Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, so make sure you listen into that. Good interview. He's fighting Chuck Campbell. And this is for the light heavyweight championship. As we mentioned, Campbell, 5-1 with 1 no contest, 2 knockouts. To his credit, he's never been finished in a fight. He's 2-0 in Cage Warriors. He won 3 straight fights, the last one via TKO. He went 2-1 in Bellator. He's a man of mystery. I don't know his age. His age is not listed anywhere online that I can find. I assume he's older than Pukauskas, or don't you know?
I would guess he's older than Pukauskas, despite the fact he has way less experience.
Yeah.
He looks older, and Pukauskas is a young dude.
Yep, he is. Campbell is 1 inch taller and has 0.5 inch of reach, so basically that's a wash. Plus 200. Pukauskas, the Baltic Gladiator, 12-5, 8 knockouts, 2 submissions, but knocked out 3 times, submitted once. He was 6-1 in Cage Warriors and the former champion. He did win his last fight. He went 1-3 in the UFC. Used to fight at middleweight, was a regional champ on top of his Cage Warrior championship, and he's minus 245 for this fight.
So first of all, I put the intern on it while you were talking and was able to find Chuck Campbell's age. He is 39.
Oh, he's an old guy.
He is 11 years older than Modestus Pukauskas. First of all, that's a new piece of information for me, but it makes me feel even better about Pukauskas, because this is not – Campbell's not a guy who's, like, coming into his own. At this age, he is, he's really talented. He strikes well. But one of the things I don't like about what I've seen from Campbell is he takes a really long time for his hands to reset after he throws a combination. Like, you can tell he like doesn't come from a boxing background, because like when a guy who's started in boxing or has lots of boxing training throws hands, their hands immediately retreat to their chin to protect from the counter. He just doesn't do that. So I worry about that for him, because in a fight with Pukauskas, first of all, Pukauskas is not a bad counter striker. Maybe it's not his best part, but he's not a bad counter striker. So if Bukauskas is on the offense and is pushing forward and looking for the takedowns are going to be there. He's going to take down Chuck Campbell and he's going to win the fight on the ground, ground and pound style. If Campbell is able to turn the tides and be the one pressuring forward, he's still in danger because he doesn't protect himself enough from a counter against a good counter puncher like Modestus Bukauskas. So I personally think Bukauskas is going to be moving forward and get the pressure on him the way that he needs to. But even if he doesn't, I still think Bukauskas has kind of an easy time here with Campbell.
All right. Minus 245. He's going chalky again here. Brings us to, hey, he's got a calm the way he sees him. Brings us to our main event, which is for the Cage Warriors Middleweight Championship. Christian Leroy Duncan versus Jesse Taylor, a name you, the old school MMA fans may remember. you may know him as JT Money, though.
JT
Money, yeah. He's 33 and 16, he being JT Money. Six knockouts, 18 submissions. He's been submitted himself 15 times, so all of his losses except for one have come via submission. So he's been submitted 15 times and lost via decision once. He's 2-1 in Cage Warriors. He used to be the champion of Cage Warriors. He's won two straight fights, both via submission. However, he's not fought in over a year. It was November 2021 when he last fought. 1-1 in the UFC. 7-0 over two seasons of The Ultimate Fighter and the champion of one season. I think I saw that he has the most wins in The Ultimate Fighter history. Which
that makes sense. Yeah, seven.
Yep. He also got drug. He failed a drug test, and he also put his fist through a car window?
Limo window. Limo window. Yeah.
So yeah. He kind of squandered his UFC chances.
Best season of The Ultimate Fighter ever, by the way. I'm not kidding.
You are an aficionado. I think I watched it.
Tough seven. Tough seven is the best season of tough. It's so good.
There you go. Don't at Dan. Don't at him if you don't.
You can at me on that. Stuff. I'm very passionate about it. I'm ready. Right. I'm ready to debate you.
At him about tough seven. Sure. He's Gumby Vreeland. Or in our Discord at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. All right, Taylor, 1-1 World Series fighting, 0-2 in Strikeforce. Used to fight at welterweight and light heavyweight. He's got multiple region championships on his
mantle.
Yes, as well as Cage Warrior, so he does have a lot of championships. 2006 pro MMA debut +400. Christian Leroy Duncan, 7-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission, 7-0 in Cage Warrior. So all of his fights have been there under their banner. 3 straight wins via finish. He is the current the champion at middleweight. He's already defended his title once. 12 years younger than JT Money, inch taller than him. Don't have reach info for him, unfortunately. -550. I do have that number though. Go ahead.
So first of all, I would say when I saw this posted, I'm a little bit worried that Jesse Taylor might have something to answer or something to give trouble to Chris Leroy Duncan in the grappling department. Because Duncan, for those of you who have not seen, is a very explosive striker. Big flying knees, spinning back fists, you know, like he can knock you out with anything. Explosive as all hell. And the type of guy you always worry about against somebody like that is a grinder like Jesse Taylor. Yeah. Here's the reason I'm not tempted on the Jesse Taylor line, though, is Jesse Taylor's won twice since he got let go from the UFC after winning The Ultimate Fighter and testing positive for steroids. He's won two times in MMA since then. That was in 2017. Okay, so in the last 5.5 years, he's won twice. Once he beat Seth Baczynski. You remember Seth Baczynski?
Of course.
Yeah. One time he beat Seth Baczynski, and the other time he beat this guy named Daniel McWilliams, which, by the way, is a great name. Daniel McWilliams.
Yeah, it is.
That dude is 18 and 47 in MMA. So, like, the only people Jesse Taylor has beaten as of late are people who are terrible at MMA at this point in time or so over the hill that, like, they got nothing left. So I think the youth and athleticism still gives me enough faith in Chris Leroy Duncan. Also, intern just updated me. Daniel the Animal McWilliams' record has now been updated to 18 and 50. He's now 18 and 50. For those of you who are
he's
wondering.
He's an animal, though.
Yeah, he's an animal. 18 and 50. So, like, I'm not running out there to throw Christopher Leroy Duncan in a parlay at -550, because that's a huge number. It's not going to boost your parlay enough. And I think there is a clear path to victory for Jesse Taylor. I'm also just not, like, tempted enough to throw money on Jesse Taylor. There are dogs I like more on this card. You know, I mentioned Kadena fighting Darren Stewart. That's a dog I'd rather throw that money on. And plus, like, he could just come out looking like a pathetic version of himself, because like we haven't really seen him fight as of late. So yeah, give me, you know, gun to my head pick, give me Duncan here.
All right. Recap his picks, he being Gumby, Duncan, Bukauskas, Hayes as a slight favorite, Kadena as a pretty big underdog, but he put a lot of qualifiers on that. And then Creasy as a very slight underdog. And you have a bonus pick for us, someone that you spoke to this week.
Yeah, I talked to Orlando Prinz leading into on Top Turtle, leading into his fight this week against Samuel Bark. And I'm, first of all, leading into the interview I was going to do with him, I did a whole bunch of watching of some of his old fights. And the dude is damn impressive on the mats, right? Like, this dude is a jiu-jitsu specialist, which you rarely ever see coming out of the Netherlands. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu coming out of the Netherlands, and he comes from a kickboxing background before his jiu-jitsu. So, like, he's kind of a fun prospect in that way. I think the only reason he's a massive dog here is he's coming off a loss to Tom Mearns. And when I watched that fight, I was like, maybe he's not as good of a prospect as I thought he was. And then he sort of clued me in, like, he had not been training prior to that. They asked him to take the fight last second. He had some injuries, and there was like a whole bunch of things leading up to it. And the biggest reason he took it was he was afraid Cage Warriors was going to take his contract away. You know, he's only a 3-0 pro leading into that fight. He thought they were going to take the contract away. So he went out there and he fought, and he didn't look good. And now he's getting, you know, full training camp up against a guy who he kind of likes to work in the clinch and hasn't really fought anybody of note, to my, at least in my opinion. And if he's going to work in the clinch against Orlando Prinz, I think he's going to wind up grappling with him. I think it's going to be a mistake. And with all that being said, you know, Prinz right now betting off at plus 400. So just as like a kind of ace in the hole pick here to round out the show, I think you could do a lot worse than playing Orlando Prinz at plus 400. He's a way better play than somebody like JT Money, who you're getting at basically the same price.
And the Top Turtle curse, it doesn't exist, right?
Is that what we're saying? That jinx is dead. if you go back and look at, hang on a second, now I gotta put the intern on it. If you go back and look at the shows, oh no, Juliana Rosa and Brian Battle was our last UFC show.
Oh, really?
maybe don't look at that one.
Maybe the curse is back. We'll
have to wait. Billy Quarantillo was on the one before that.
Yeah,
he looks damn good.
And it's a dog. Come on, what do you want? What do you want from him? All right.
Yeah, come on.
What was the number you said? What was
plus
the number?
400.
Whoa. What's he doing? What are you having plus 400 people on your show? Come on. You knew better than that.
I have the faith.
All right. So that is Cage Warriors. Make sure you check that out and get in the Discord and chat with us. I'm sure there will be some degens in there betting on it and talking about it on New Year's Eve day.
And we've now given you picks for four different events going down on New Year's Day. Yep. You can watch Octagon 38, you can watch Cage Warriors 148, you can watch Ryzen 40, and you can watch Bellator versus Ryzen all on the same day. I think I've given you 21 picks off of there. One of them sadly has fallen through.
Yeah.
And it's not happening. The main event to Octagon is no longer Masick. Masick pulled out of that fight. He's no longer in it. Masick's still in the fight. He's fighting Gustavo Lopez, but he's no longer fighting the Danish dude he was set to fight. But Gustavo Lopez, another UFC guy in that fight against Philip Masick now. So, now you've got, now that that fight is gone, I've now given you 20 picks that I like for New Year's Day. There's a lot you can do with that.
Except don't bet on New Year's Day because it's New Year's Eve day is what he's trying to tell you.
So. Right. One of those two. Yeah,
get your picks in early. All right. We'll be back. We'll be coming back again. We're coming back on New Year's Day, I guess, right? To recap everything.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back on Sunday to recap and look ahead to the new year. We told you about Discord. We told you about SGPN MMA is our Twitter handle that Gumby runs. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. We both write for sportsgamblingpodcast.com, so make sure you check out all the articles there. We told you about Top Turtle. I run a MMA site called moneymma.substack.com. Give that a subscribe and check out my stuff on there. And if you like our podcast and you've listened this far, make sure you give us the rate and review us on whatever you listen to us on. So that's all I got for you. I'm going to let Gumby take you home on our last show of 2022.
All right. I'm Danny Gumby Freeland. He's JT Money Jeff Fox. And we will see you in the new year.